We're continuing our journey through Paul's letter to the Galatians. I know of no more clear presentation in all of Scripture of the gospel and the freedom that we have in Christ. And it's so important that we understand it, because almost every message that we get from the world, and certainly from Satan, militates against this message. So it's really a privilege for me to be able to speak to you tonight on Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord. The Magna Carta of 1215, the United States Constitution of 1789, the Emancipation Proclamation of 1864, the Civil Rights Act of 1963. In the course of human history, there are these certain documents that protect the freedom of individual human beings. Freedom from oppression, freedom from slavery, freedom from tyranny, freedom from the big guy taking advantage of the little guy. And you don't have to be a history expert to realize that we human beings really value those freedoms to the point that we are willing to fight for them. Paul's letter to the Galatians is one long inspired defense of freedom. It's the Magna Carta, U.S. Constitution, Emancipation Proclamation, Civil Rights Act, all rolled into one, but it's not a political freedom that Paul is talking about. I dare say, as important as political freedom is, this is talking about something much more important: freedom for the individual soul. Freedom for each one of us to approach God, the God who created us, and to know that our standing with Him, our relationship with Him, is not based on how good we are, on doing more or being more than. It's about God's grace. The message of freedom in Galatians is that you don't make yourself right with God by the works that you perform, the things that you do. God makes you right with Him by sending His Son, Jesus Christ, to take away all of your sins and then sending the Holy Spirit into your heart so that you believe that. That's the gospel. And that's freedom. And that's Galatians. Freedom from this horrible, man-made oppression that exists in any kind of religion of rules, which is a horrible life of believing that the only way that God is ever going to love you is if you do enough or you be enough. Freedom from that kind of oppression, what the theologians call legalism. It's worth fighting for. And now tonight, we kind of turn a page in Galatians and we go into a study of another L word that Paul says we really have to defend the gospel against. So yeah, defend it against legalism. But now he says you've also got to defend it against license. And license in Galatians is this idea that we can take the love and the forgiveness and the grace of God in Jesus Christ and just use it, or I should say abuse it, as a license to do whatever we want to do. This is the ultimate sneak attack of the devil, especially for grace-loving Christians like us. It's the devil saying, hey, you love grace. Your God is that He loves to forgive. He wants to forgive. So why don't you give Him something to forgive? Today, Paul encourages us to fight against this other great enemy of the gospel, license. And he says, when you're doing that, you're going to feel a conflict within you. You're actually going to feel a struggle. But he says, long live the struggle. It's not a struggle you want to avoid. It's not a struggle you want to shrink from. But it's a struggle you want to embrace. And it's a struggle that happens because God has placed His Spirit in your heart. When the Holy Spirit made you a believer, He said, I'm taking up residence in you. And that Spirit is always fighting against the flesh. They're the two combatants in this struggle. In fact, Paul mentions them. He says, the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh, and they are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. Now, I think you know that the Bible usually uses the term flesh not to refer to this stuff, to skin. It actually usually uses the term flesh to refer to something that isn't material at all, but something that is real nonetheless. And it's something we all have, and that is this propensity, this desire, this part of us that wants to do things our way and not God's way. And the flesh resides in every child of God. No one was more aware of this than the Apostle Paul. He writes about it a number of times. In Romans chapter 7, there's a good long section where Paul just says, there's nothing good that lives in my flesh. In 1 Timothy 1, he says, even though Christ called me to be an apostle and to be a child of God, I am the worst of sinners. This is the Apostle Paul talking. So if he can say it about himself, then we certainly can say it as well. We can't get rid of our flesh. It will always be there wanting us to do things and say things and think things that are opposed to God's way. So the struggle is real. The struggle is lifelong. But in this struggle, Paul says, you've got the Spirit. There's two things that Paul wants to point out about God the Holy Spirit in this particular Word of God. The first thing is that God the Holy Spirit gave us the Scripture, inspired the Bible to be written. And the second thing is that God the Holy Spirit made us believers in Jesus Christ. So when he made us believers in Jesus Christ, as I mentioned earlier, he took up residence inside us. We speak of the Spirit indwelling us. And when he does that, he's constantly fighting against the lies of our flesh. Our flesh listens to Satan's lies and is trying to push them on us. And the Spirit fights back against them by appealing to the only way that we can know what God's will is. And that's the Bible. So when Satan starts telling us lies fed through our flesh, like, listen, surely God made you a sexual being. And your sexuality really has nothing to do with this man-made construct of marriage. And it certainly shouldn't be limited to marriage. Or, listen, in this life, no one is going to look out for you. No one is going to look out for number one. You need to do that. And if you step on some people along the way, so be it. That's just part of the deal. Or, life is hard and it hurts. And whatever substance you need to take away the pain, that's just fine. Those are the kinds of like logical, nice sounding lies that the devil pushes on our flesh and through our flesh, and then really the only antidote to them, the only defense we have for them, is to swing what Paul called in Ephesians 6, the sword of the Spirit, the very word that he inspired. And then, so basically, this struggle within us is the lies of Satan through our flesh, and then the Spirit says, now wait a minute, let's take a look at what God really says. Kind of like back in the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? It says here in my Bible, the Spirit says, the Bible I inspired, that the marriage bed should be honored by all, and that your body is my temple. And love your neighbor as yourself. And that never means stepping on somebody to get what you want. So you see, when we let the Spirit speak in our lives, or as Paul says today, when we walk by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit, we're fighting back against the devil's lies. And there's something else wonderful that happens. We use God's laws, his commands, the right way, for the right reason. You know, as was mentioned earlier in today's, in tonight's service, Paul has spent this whole Galatians letter talking about these false teachers that were misusing the law of God. They were teaching these baby Christian Galatians, you know what? This is what God's law is for. It's for you to keep so that you can make him love you. And once you've done enough, then maybe he'll let you into heaven. And Paul said, no, that's not what his laws are for. That's like saying ice skates are for us to play soccer. You know, if you put on ice skates and then go out to the grass soccer pitch, that's just a preposterous, foolish, injurious way to use ice skates. But if you put on your ice skates and go to the skating rink, then you just glide right through. And that's what using God's law to fight against the flesh is like. It's using his word, his will, his way to do the right thing, which is to fight against the flesh. So we're in this daily struggle, right? And we can feel it. Boy, can we feel it. When we're tempted to do something that we know is not God's way, we feel that. And then we give in to temptation and we sin, even though we knew that that was not God's way. It says right here tonight, the spirit and the flesh are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. A struggling, striving Christian can honestly say, I didn't want to do that, but I did. And boy, are you going to feel that. And then your conscience rises to its feet because God gave you a conscience. And the conscience points a finger at you and it makes you feel guilty because we are guilty in those circumstances and we feel that. And then it seems like we're losing a lot more than we're winning in these conflicts, and we feel that. And sometimes those guilty feelings just keep piling up until we wonder if we're walking by the Spirit at all. And we wonder if the Spirit hasn't taken the last train to the coast and is gone from us. We wonder if we are children of God at all, because surely a Christian, a real Christian, is not going to have the struggle that I'm having right now. What is God saying to you tonight? Through this word, he is saying to you, your struggle that you feel, the struggle against your flesh, is a sign of life, not death. It is a sign of the Spirit's presence, not his absence. If you were not a child of God, if you were not a Christian, you would feel no struggle. No struggle, no Spirit. Whenever you keep in step with the Spirit and walk with the Spirit, you're going to feel the struggle. And so I say, long live the struggle. And when I say that, I really do not wish for any pain or heartache on anybody, unless it is the pain and heartache of fighting against a sinful lifestyle, the pain or heartache of rubbing against the sinful ways of the world and the sinful ways of our own flesh. That's a struggle to embrace, because it means that you're taking God at his word and you're trusting his plan for your life as articulated in that word, and you're using it to beat back the devil's lies. Something like that never comes easy. It always leaves a mark. And this side of heaven, it's not going to stop. But friends, it is a struggle to embrace. Long live the struggle. And here's just one last thing. When you are in the midst of the battle, when you're in the midst of the struggle against the flesh, and you are doubting your place in God's family, this is what the Son of God, the head of that family, wants you to know. He has already won the war. When he said, "It is finished," he meant it. His victory over Satan and his lies, his victory over sin, is complete. It is accomplished. He proved that when he rose from the dead. And his victory is your victory. And it is sure. So when you feel weak, remember that your victory doesn't depend on your strength. It depends on Christ's. And when you feel like you've lost too many struggles with the flesh, remember this: Christ never did, and God sees you wrapped up in his victory banner. Jesus won. That's your strength for the struggle. Long live the struggle. Amen. What enemy can pose a threat to shake my footing sure? What cares need ever make me fret or doubt my home secure? My Lord has conquered every strife, all adversaries fall. I'm bound to Christ in death and life, and rest in him through all. Amen.
This podcast is a production of St. Marcus Ministries. For similar content, subscribe to our St. Marcus Church YouTube channel or follow us on Facebook. If you're seeking ways to grow, serve, or give, download the Church Center app and add St. Marcus as your church. There, you can submit private prayer requests, receive weekly news updates, and more. If you enjoy these messages, please subscribe and share with a friend. Thank you for listening, and God bless.